That place where we're asking, if you have a heavenly prayer language, let's pray in tongues. If you're not speaking in tongues yet, let's believe for it. The issue of the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. It is not the only evidence. There's other places in Acts where we find the baptism of the Holy Spirit accompanied by them getting healed or prophecy. I'm trying not to belabor the point. Where we want to go in our understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, I'm going to illustrate it like this. How many of you have ever gone to a restaurant and you've seen that couple sitting over in the booth and in your thought you're going, they need a room, right? I mean, come on, have you ever been out in public where you see, you know, the PDA is on display, public displays of affection, and the reality is they just need to get a room. Yeah, all the kids in the room are going, ew, my parents are like that, you know. Listen, holding hands in public is not wrong. I don't believe kissing in public is wrong, but, you know, there's a limit, right? And so if you're sitting in a restaurant and you see someone, or not just someone, because they're obviously with someone, but if you see a couple and they're starting to get really intimate, it makes the rest of us really uncomfortable, right? Yeah, no. It makes me really uncomfortable. Maybe it doesn't make you uncomfortable, Mark. But there's this feeling of like, really, that should be behind closed doors. Now, I'm not a prude by any means. My wife and I, like, we have an amazing love life. And we have no problem. We have no problem being physical. But there's also a time and place for it, right? There's also a way of being physical. And there's a level of intimacy that happens in marriage. Now, not all of us want to see that intimacy while we're eating our dinner, right? Yet, we can still be intimate at a restaurant with our loved one. We can go out of our way to cater to them. We can pull the chair out. We can encourage them to let's get whatever we want. We can have an intentionality and a level of intimacy that maybe is not the full display that would happen in a bedroom. When we come to church on a Sunday morning, this is like a restaurant. There is a level of intimacy that you and I can experience and we want to experience. But the true nature of what God designed for us to encounter intimately isn't going to happen at the restaurant. It's going to happen in the bedroom. Now, some of you, you have no problem making this your bedroom. And the rest of us, we're like, oh, man, like, well, this feels a little uncomfortable. But I'm actually okay with that. I'm okay with the challenge of going further, of experiencing more, but not at the cost of turning people away from Jesus. Now, they might not like how we do things. They might not like speaking in tongues. They might not be comfortable with the shofars or the banners or the loud music. I get there's choices that we all have. But my point is this. If we're going to contend to flow in the Spirit, if we're going to pray in tongues, if we're going to let the Holy Spirit manifest in our presence, we have to recognize our responsibility. Our responsibility to actually cultivate intimacy in our bedroom, so that when we show up here and we're wooing the Lord and being wooed by one another, that again, it's appropriate. Now, I just got out of a prayer meeting. Jennifer, Josh, and I were just talking about the reality that some of you maybe have been told, hey, you're being a little too fleshy. Have any of you ever heard that term? Have ever any of you grown up and just said you're being a little, see, I'm not familiar with that term. But I am familiar with the term that you shouldn't seek experiences, just have faith in God. That's what's been told to me. You shouldn't seek experiences, just have faith in God. As if God doesn't want us to encounter him, right? As if there isn't some type of expression that's going to come out of this body that he's put me, my spirit in. And what we're contending for is to break free in such a manner that your expression of worship is honoring to the Lord and to the atmosphere that God has put you in. Does that mean we can't be intimate? No, we absolutely can have a level of intimacy, but it's going to look really different when you're at home. And if you're not cultivating it at home and you're expecting to get it here or experience it here, chances are you're going to walk away very disappointed. Lord, I want to see signs and wonders. I want to encounter the miracles. I want to feel the touch of your hands on my face. Listen, if that's the only prayer you're making on a Sunday morning or the only time you're making that request is here in the company of others, God longs for a whole lot more from you. He wants to hear that prayer right before you go to bed. Lord, touch my face as I go to bed. Let me have an encounter tonight with your spirit in such a manner that I get dreams about what to do tomorrow, about how to intercede for others. Because if you're showing up here and we're contending together in the baptism of the Holy Spirit to encounter the Lord, the power of speaking in tongues, being a witness for Christ, contending for God to bring revival as if it's not already here, because if you're here, there's revival going on. Something in you has spoken to you, and I'm going to say the Spirit of God has spoken to you, saying, get to church. I mean, how many of you struggled to get here this morning? How many of you felt like the enemy was just at your door, keeping it locked? How many of you felt like the enemy was on that blanket, just laying there going, stay under the covers? Come on, if you got out of the covers, if you got out of bed, if you got dressed and you walked in the door, that is revival. That is the nature of Holy Spirit having access to lead you. But you and I have a responsibility that when we get here, that we let our intimacy with the Lord begin to permeate the atmosphere. Join with the collection and the collective. Join with what God is doing in Josh's life and Jacob's life and Nathan's life and Tiffany's life. To do it in such a manner that when we come in, we recognize Josh and I aren't going to lock lips, most likely. Probably never. Will there be a kiss on the cheek, a holy kiss? Maybe. Will Jacqueline and I lock lips? Maybe. You've seen us do that. But Josh and I can have a level of intimacy because we bring it to this time. We bring what God's doing in our life. And so when I or Pastor Mike or Josh or Jennifer or one of our speakers gets up and we're contending and you hear us leading you in such a manner, let's pray in the Spirit. Let's pray and build our holy faith up. There's got to be this awareness that what I was doing in my bedroom now gets to seep out here. And what I get to encounter here, I get to go home and have a greater encounter. Man, you know, I mean, again, I sit across from my wife at dinner, and she woos me with her eyes, and she raises her eyebrow. And I know what that means when we get home. You know, and there's a part of me that can't wait to get home. There should be something here this morning. Yeah, she's getting all blush, although I guess you don't really get embarrassed by me anymore. But there's got to be something that we encounter here in the morning that provokes us to go, Lord, I want more of that at home. I want more of that in the fellowship with my family. I want more of that. I mean, here's the problem with Sunday mornings. You know the back of the head in front of you better than you do their face. I mean, that's just the reality, right? You know the back of their head better than you do their face most often. The people that we know intimately, we know face to face. The people we know intimately and we're able to get intimate with, we're able to read facial expressions. We're able to read the unspoken gestures. There are unspoken gestures of the Holy Spirit that He wants us to know. There are natures and attributes of God that don't require words. They just require looking and realizing, oh, that's what you're doing, Lord. I mean, how many of you, I talked to a guy the other day that this is his testimony. He's very aware of the homeless population in our community. He's an advocate for it. He goes out there. Never once has he ever felt homeless, been homeless. But he was out for a run the other day, and he fell on the Clarkston side of the river and actually ended up on the side, and he just laid there in the snow. And people just passed him by. Nobody stopped. Nobody helped him. And he wasn't wailing in pain or anything. He just knew he didn't feel like moving because, you know, he was just checking his body. And just like, how hurt am I? And what he realized is the power of being invisible is devastating. I mean, it brought him to a place where I'm believing he's going to come to the Lord in a way like he doesn't know him yet. Because he realized that if God sees us, then we're never invisible. Yet the power of just being dismissed. And what grieves my heart and what I know is a reality even in our house here is that some of you walk in and nobody talks to you. You walk in and you're just as invisible before you came in than when you are here. And that hurts. That hurts not only those that are being dismissed and bypassed and overlooked, but it hurts me just knowing, Lord, what's it going to take for us to connect? Now, I can't connect with all of you, and you shouldn't expect me to connect with all of you. You shouldn't expect everybody in the room to connect with you. But there actually has to be this ushering of ourself to connect with others. And if you're sitting next to someone that you don't know, then it's going to be really hard to move in the Spirit. It's going to be really hard to stand righteously before the Lord and go, man, I prayed in tongues more than anybody I know, Lord. And the Lord would say, yeah, but did you know anybody's name? Did you know the people that labored next to you? Well, no. I mean, we went to church. I did the box. See, there's unspoken gestures that God has put on display before all of us that maybe somebody who's sitting off by themselves could just use, hey, how you doing today? Anything I can pray for? Now, I'll be honest with you, I hate small talk. Like, because I'm terrible at it, you know? It's an awkward, you know, I'll get right in there, and I'll just ask you that question. Like, how's it going with Holy Spirit, you know? What anger issues are you dealing with? You know, when I look at you, I see this spear in your chest. Do you want to deal with that? It's like, what? There's a spear in my chest? You know, or man, why are you carrying all those chains? You know, that's my small talk, which I've had to learn to change because people walk around going, I didn't know I had chains on my legs. Like, oh yeah, like you stepped in it today, didn't you? And, you know, that doesn't help either because now they're like on guard. You know, so there's this temperance and there's this learning. And again, this is what we're talking about, flowing in the Spirit. So as we get into worship, because this is really my heart and this is what we've done today. I have a few verses for you, but there's three verses and I'll do them after worship. And I got a couple testimonies. But I want us to begin to recognize when we come in the morning, when we gather like this and we say, Lord, here I am, I need us to recognize that there are others, that it's here we are. Here we are, Lord. And yes, we want to be intimate. And yes, we're going to, you know, I shared this with somebody a few weeks ago because they questioned the way we do things around here. And this was my response to him. Name another church in the valley that allows what we allow. And I'm not boasting and I'm not bragging. I know almost every single church in the valley, and I have a great relationship with most of those pastors. And I understand why they do what they do. But when I moved here and the Lord called me to plant a church, he said, I'm not looking for vanilla. I want Rocky Road. I need someone that's going to be willing to let the misfits in and let the people that have a different expression come to church. Amen. And what I immediately found was a lot of broken people that felt like they were wrong in how they encountered the Lord or in the way God had spoken to them. And what we started to do was we started to challenge what we define as order. The Bible definitely calls us into order, but Paul's words in Corinthians about order was that there had been a whole lot of crazy chaos, and you can't have order if you don't have chaos. And so we're going to let some things go. We're going to let some people have a banner in their hand that probably need to be learned, you know, taught how to wave a banner. You know, they're not a sword. I mean, I don't know where Mike Richardson just went, but, you know, if you ask some of the people that joined us early on, you know, their testimony is simply this. I attended Hope Chapel and never wanted to go back. Oh, why is that? Well, that crazy lady with the banners, she kept hitting me with the stick. You know, that lady that kept dancing in front of me, she was blocking the words I couldn't see. That worship leader, your wife, she didn't sing songs that were on the screen. It's like, yeah, I know, it's challenging. But we're contending for something greater than what everybody is offering. And if you want something else that we're not offering, God bless you, go find it. If you don't like the way we're doing things around here, then I want to pray with you and help you connect to a place that maybe is going to fit you. But can I also challenge you to consider that if we're always comfortable, we're going to miss out on what God has. Because Christianity was not about comfortability. There's this place that we want to go to in the Spirit. There's this place that we want to go to when we flow in the Spirit. There's this place that worship gives us an opportunity to encounter that requires participation. Now, the hard part about our Sunday services, and I'm going to close with this thought, is, listen, if this is all you're getting, if this is all you're participating in, there is such a great loss. Listen, we can't give the microphone to everybody, and maybe we give it out too freely here, but we can't give the microphone to everybody, but do you realize that you have something to say? And if this is your only environment, and if you're not getting access to the microphone, then guess what? There's great loss. You and I need to recognize that we need people in our life, not just to preach to, but to learn from. You and I need connection that takes us to a place of greater intimacy. And what we can facilitate here on a Sunday morning is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, will we have great, extravagant, intimate moments? Absolutely. But again, my point is that it should actually lead us and drive us into even greater intimacy. It's the winking of the eye when I sit across from my bride. It's the raising of the eyebrow. It's the holding of hands that I know, Lord, she loves me. Lord, you love me. It's the healings that testify, God is here. He's with us. It's the signs and miracles. So when we sing about it this morning, even if we don't see anything this morning, even if we don't see one person healed or one miracle, would you recognize that when people get out of their house and they come to church on a Sunday morning, that is revival. That in itself is a miracle because it's about salvation. It's about transformation. If you're here this morning and you've never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the miracle is sitting right here in front of us. The opportunity for a life to be radically changed. Amen. I want to invite the worship team up. And then I'm going to invite you again around here. We like to make decrees. We like to prophesy. We like to lay hands. We like to hold hands. You know, there was a day before COVID that, you know, we gave holy kisses, all of that. Now we're a little bit more cautious. But let us still be a people that can grow and enter into an expression that, Lord, you are good. Lord, we're here to bring the intimacy that we have with you in our bedroom. And we'll, later on, I'll talk a little bit about how to cultivate that. But it starts with this posture of knowing that, Lord, I'm a worshiper. I've been made to worship. Lord, I get to bring you praise. I get to recognize your grandness. I get to recognize your glory. And so if you join with me by standing, and then after that, you're free if you want to use the altar. If you want to spread out, there's room in the balcony. If you're a toe tapper and need a little bit more room to tap your toes, man, if you're a knee raiser, you can come out, you know, years we've made this joke, you know, you should probably do your calisthenic stretches before you come to church, you know, just because there might be some movement. We're going to pray for our offering during worship. You can use the buckets to bring your offering up to the front, or there's a few buckets in the back. You'll see some people that'll pick up.
Developed with me. Actually, I preached a sermon at Hope Chapel. It was probably like 7 or 8 years ago about, it was Psalm 23, verse 5. And it talks about how the Lord prepares a table in the midst of your enemies. And there's something about the gospel. There's something about Jesus Christ that he loves working in environments where it doesn't make sense. If I could give you like a visual picture of that, he'd be like if you ever walk on the sidewalk and you see a sidewalk that's cracked and there's this one little like root that's coming out and it's this green leaf. And you're like, that isn't supposed to happen. Like the Lord loves to work in those situations. And so what I found just to be the most important thing as I am intimate with the Lord is that it's really important for me to celebrate what the victory looks like before I can feel it, before I can taste it, before I know it. And so this is the power of the chair. Oftentimes in the middle of the night, the Lord will wake me up and I just put the thing that I know I need breakthrough for, and I just say, sit down, you're going to watch me worship. And I just get to that place where I just begin to thank him. I begin to thank him about what it looks like and how faithful he is and how faithful he's been and how faithful he'll be. And I begin to celebrate what the victory looks like even before I get it. And it begins to align my heart and my emotions with his, and I begin to get a perspective of truth that I didn't have before, and I can genuinely get excited about what God is doing in my life before I have proof that it exists, because I know who he is. Because I know who he is. Excuse me. So I celebrate. And if you wonder why I laugh all the time, it's because joy is my weapon. Joy is my weapon. It was the joy of the Lord, literally, the joy set before him that he endured the cross. The Lord found that joy was actually his place of strength. It's where you trust the nature and the character and the goodness of the Lord to provide for you, to break through on your behalf. So, me and the chair spend a lot of time together in the middle of the night. And he's always faithful and he's always good. And that's my bedroom talk with the Lord.
I spend a lot of time in the Song of Solomon. And so let me read. This is Song of Solomon 2, chapter 2, verse 14. O my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And I, my perspective and my perception when I'm with the Lord is that he loves my face. Like, he likes my face. And I know that he loves me, but he actually likes my face and he loves my voice. And so when I take those moments and I shift from everything else and I just set my gaze on him, he's like, Jennifer, I love your face. I love your face and I love the sound of your voice. And so that is the place that I set my heart when I set my gaze, is he loves my face and he loves my voice. And then Deep Calls Into Deep has always anchored me. And it is the depth of me that pulls on the depth of my King Jesus. And it's always like, I always have to go with the idea that he's going to speak to me, that I'm going to hear him, he's going to have something to say to me. Or there's other times, it's just like, I just set my face, and he is so worthy. He is so worthy. And I just set my gaze on his worthiness, and on my set my heart on adoration, is that you are so beautiful, King Jesus. In the beauty of your majesty and in your holiness, I gaze upon you. I gaze upon you. So, Lord, I literally have to open my mouth, and he has to hear my voice, because my voice is lovely to him, and he longs to hear my voice. So I spend time just letting him hear my voice, because my voice is lovely, and I just declare it out, King Jesus, and all of your beauty and all of your splendor, I set my heart there. That is the place that I go, and I just begin declaring his worthiness and his holiness, and then I just, as Jeff said, it is your prayer language, that I just start praying in tongues, and there is a spirit-to-spirit connection, and the rest of it is beautiful.
I want to show you three verses, and then, Veronica, did you have a word? Yeah. No, let's, this is Veronica. One of our members who hears from the Lord in our times of worship and gets words from the Lord's, and we call this prophecy. And so can we honor the worship team?
You know, the Lord has set everything in seasons, both in the natural and in the spiritual. And the Issachar anointing was about knowing the times and the seasons and what to do in them. And that knowledge comes from intimacy with the Lord. Only he knows, you know, what's around the corner, and only he can tell us. And anyway, we're in a winter season, just changing to a spring season. And this is what I heard the Lord say this morning. When the rain comes, when the Chinook wind blows and melts the snow and melts the ice that has stifled your life. Do you feel stifled sometimes in this? Then look for new life, the budding of all the trees. Are you a planting of the Lord? The bursting forth of the bud, the flowering, and then the fruit. It may look dead right now, but the fruit is there waiting for the sun, S-O-N, to shine upon it. We're like that. Expect the wind of the Spirit, the breath of God, to move you, to cause any coldness, hardness to break off, and the fire that is shining upon you from the face of God to cause you to bud, to bloom, and to bring forth fruit from the tree of life. that is already within you. For the Spirit of God that is within you is a tree of life, and that flowing up into that abundant life. So just as seed time and harvest is to be expected as long as the earth remains, look for and expect the harvest, and the Lord of the harvest too, with his labors to bring it forth. That is the angels and you and I co-laboring with each other and with the Lord to bring forth the harvest. And that, you know, we always think in that verse that it is about, you know, the unsaved world, and it certainly is. But within each of us, God has placed fruit.
Mm, yes.
And giftings. And he wants the full return for what he's placed in you. So that harvest is all that he has placed within you to come out and be used for his glory.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Veronica. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the word. The beauty about Veronica is that the level of intimacy it's recorded, right? I mean, she writes it down. She doesn't just do that on Sunday mornings. And she stewards a level of relationship. And I want to send you out this morning in light of what Josh has said, Jennifer has said, what we've experienced, how I set us up this morning, with these three verses. And if you want to open your Bibles and write these verses down or just take a picture, this is John 14, John 15, and John 16. And I just want to help you understand how to cultivate intimacy outside of our Sunday gathering, especially in your bedroom, especially in your prayer room, in your home, in your car. It's not just one place or one moment. It's a lifestyle. And if you look at John 14, 26, Jesus says, but the helper. So if you're in need of help, what a great place to develop intimacy. Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, you're the helper. Come and help me. That's the cry of an intimate heart. Lord, I want to connect with my wife. You know, when we're married and I wear a ring, she wears a ring. Everywhere I go, I'm reminded that I'm married. But even if I didn't have the ring on, which I actually can't take off, but even if I didn't have the ring on, I still know that I'm married. She might not be present in my life in that moment, but her presence is with me everywhere I go. We are married to the Lord, and we are bonded and made one with him through the Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. So, but the Helper, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. How do we cultivate intimacy? Celebrate. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son's Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit. He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I said to you. Man, if you're in a place where you don't know what to do, a great opportunity to become intimate with the Lord. Holy Spirit, help me know what to do. Bring to mind. I call into remembrance. Sometimes it'll be the Word of God. He'll start to give you verses. This is why memorizing the Word is so important and reading the Word daily is important. But Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. The verse Jennifer was quoting is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think verse 10 or 11. But the Spirit searches out the deep things of God. If you want to know the mysteries and the deep things of God, Holy Spirit is going to search them out for you. Just ask him. John 15, Jesus again a little later says, when the helper, do you think Jesus wanted us to be aware that we have a helper? Absolutely, because he keeps referring to his Spirit as the aid, as the partner, as the one who's going to help us, because he knew we would need help. He knew it, so he gave us his Spirit. The beauty of Holy Spirit is that Jesus, when he walked the earth, he was limited to that location. But by his death and resurrection, he poured out his Spirit on all of mankind so that his Spirit could be everywhere, he is everywhere, and he's in us and with us. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. So again, this beautiful triune nature of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. How do I cultivate intimacy? I sit before the Lord and I go, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this relationship. And I've said this many times to you before, but I think it's so important, is that there's no vanity in the Trinity. Meaning the Father isn't sitting there going, hey, Mike, you better talk about my Son more. Or you shouldn't talk about the Holy Spirit because I'm the Father. Don't forget who I am. That's not his issue. They're one, and that they're distinct. And they share in this beautiful fellowship that you and I are now a part of. So when we praise the Father looks to the Son and the Spirit, and they're praised. When we praise Jesus, the Father and the Son are glorified. When we activate and move our faith in the leading of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is revealed. So when the Helper comes, meaning there's this time, there's this point that we cry out and the evidence of his presence is on us, He has sent him, that the Spirit of truth, so the Holy Spirit is the truth. Lord, I'm sitting, you know, I love Josh's, I've heard Josh share this many times, but that reality of putting in front of you, making the enemy sit and watch you worship, making your debt watch you worship, making illness watch you worship, making, you know, whatever the issue, depression, anxiety, whatever that issue, it's just telling it, hey, you know what, depression, take a seat right here and watch me worship. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring truth about the truth that's sitting in that chair. And then, you know, where the great exchange is all of a sudden the Lord Jesus comes and kicks that out and says, remember who you are, take your seat. Right? And so this beautiful picture of, Lord, I need truth, so let the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me being Jesus. So again, this is the beauty of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit brings evidence of Jesus and the Father lets the Spirit glorify Jesus, and Jesus glorifies the Father. So you got this working that's constantly going on, and that's an intimate working that you and I are a part of through salvation. And so when we sit and just are reminded and let these verses wash over us, the last one here is when he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, again, he's identifying the nature of the Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. I've said this many times to you before. Ministry, the activity, the doing, the performance, the striving, the evidence, the hands-on, you know, the rubber meets the road. The doing, the ministry is supposed to be the overflow of intimacy. Meaning we're doing what we're doing because I've spent time with the Lord and he's shown me what to do. He's shown me how to work and how to do what he wants me to do. I have beheld him and become more like him. And this is that evidence right here. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Again, the beautiful picture here of, Lord, how do I lead? How do I go? Where are we headed? For he will not speak on his own initiative. And again, the distinction here is understanding that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. The theology of the day would have made a distinction. It would have fought with other religions to recognize, well, that's not of God, but that is of God. Holy Spirit is not going to speak on his own initiative. So get rid of the worry of, man, am I offending Jesus by what I'm hearing the Spirit say? Well, the Spirit is always going to glorify Jesus, and that's the test. Jesus is Jesus. Years ago, I used to just, you know, pray, you know, Father God. Someone came along and said, man, you're totally neglecting Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's like, well, how is that possible? Well, you're not using their name every time you pray. And so, man, I got on this kick of like, Father God, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit. I didn't want to miss them. And then somebody graciously came along and said, man, Jeff, that's like a formula. I listen to you pray. These are disciples in my life. And it's always Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Like religiously, I go, I know, I'm not missing them, you know, I'm not missing out. I got all three of them covered. I'm covered. And they're like, that's religious. The Father knows who you're talking to when you use the name of Jesus. Jesus knows who you're glorifying when you invoke the name of Holy Spirit. And nowadays it's, you know, Papa, you know, Daddy. Some days it's just Holy Spirit. And that language, it just develops as you get more intimate. And it goes back to what I said earlier, is that sometimes it's an unspoken gesture that will move our heart. I don't need to say Father, Jesus, or Holy Spirit. I just know. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will disclose to you what is to come. And again, this is that nature of Holy Spirit leading us beyond just our moment. And this is why speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important for us, because we're actually speaking into existence our destiny, the plans and purposes that God has for you. If you're stuck on what's the purpose of speaking in tongues, recognize that it's the perfect language of the Spirit. Jennifer just said it. It's the Spirit of God, you know, around us, connecting to the Holy Spirit in us. And it's the perfect prayer that positions us in alignment to go where God's calling us to go. And again, there's no condemnation. If you're here this morning and, man, I just don't believe in speaking in tongues, let's ask the question, why? You know, where did that originate? What influence has permeated your theology to put this idea that somehow the language of heaven is not necessary or is only for a select few? So in an effort to grow intimately, my challenge to you this week is these three verses in just dialogue with Holy Spirit. Dialogue in English, dialogue in your heavenly tongue, dialogue with scriptures, but dialogue in such a manner that if you need help, he's there to help you. If you're looking for truth, he's there to give you truth. If you want to know what the Father and the Son are saying, Holy Spirit's going to speak exactly what he's hearing the Father and the Son say. If you want to enter into a greater level of intercession, do you know that Jesus intercedes night and day for us? He's our great mediator. He's interceding for you and I right now. And he's interceding in such a way that Holy Spirit is in complete unison with him in such a manner that if we'll just listen, we can actually join in with the prayers of heaven. And if you want to know what that looks like, start by just going, Holy Spirit, help me intercede like Jesus intercedes. Help me pray like Jesus prays. And you might just so happen to open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 6 and begin to read. The disciples, they didn't ask him how to preach. They didn't ask him how to teach the word. They saw the evidence of Jesus' life in his prayer life. They asked him how to pray. In order to be more like him, they wanted to pray. And Jesus said that my house would be called a house of prayer. And so we are a people who want to move in the Spirit, flow in the Spirit, activate the faith that Holy Spirit gives us to such a degree that our intercession hits a new stride. The transformation of hearts and communities is evident because we're praying. And so I want to bless you and send you out. The one announcement that I missed, and forgive me, Bob, is young adults. We have I just feel awkward playing a video right now. But I do, if you know young adults, we are starting with some ministry opportunities for young adults on Sundays after service, starting on March 7th, so in a couple weeks. Bob Nath is overseeing that. What we're contending for, and this is our heart of intercession, is we can't meet everybody's needs. Our goal isn't to meet everybody's needs. But the people right in front of us, we can meet their need. And we know young adults that have been so groomed by the world that they don't even know who they are. And they're searching. And I would say all of us go through that season. But right now, I was sharing with Grady and a few others this morning, if you're wondering what God is about ready to do, look at the counterfeit. Because after every great counterfeit comes an even greater move of God. So where the enemy's been allowed to counterfeit and pervert things, God loves to show up on the heels of that and go, here's the truth. So right now, we've been praying for unity for years, and we see great division and divisiveness. We've been declaring the need, Lord, to celebrate diversity, and look what's being persecuted. And so if you're wondering right now, intimately, where I sit with the Lord, when I ask him, Lord, what's coming? I hear the Lord just saying, a great unity and a great diversity, which immediately in me goes, I don't know how to handle that. Like, I don't know what to do with that. And that takes me right back to John 14, 26. Holy Spirit, help me. Help prepare my heart for the great unity and diversity. Amen? Awesome. Would you stand with me, and I'll just release you this way. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here this morning. If you would like to stick around afterwards, I know we haven't done this for months, and I'm not sure what type of response we'll get, but if you'd like to stick around afterwards and just receive some prayer, I'd be more than willing to pray with you, and I know a few others will come up and pray with you, but just join us up front here, and we'll just pray for you. And if you're social distancing or don't want anybody laying hands on you, we'll honor that. But we do want to just kind of keep moving forward and just begin to get back into praying for people. But Lord, I thank you right now for each and every heart that's in this room. Lord, I thank you for the evidence of your love this morning, Father. And I thank you that this week there's a great opportunity for us to grow intimately with you. Whether it looks like Josh sitting at a chair, whether it's Jennifer reading out a Song of Solomon's, whether it's us reflecting about Jesus' word and his spirit, or some other thing that you do, playing music, reading the Bible. It's not a formula. It's about an intentional opportunity to say, Lord, here I am. I want to talk to you. Talk to me. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this morning's ministry. I thank you for the opportunity as we go out into the world to take your love and to take what we've received as revelation from you, Holy Spirit, and share it with others in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out this morning. We'll see you next Sunday. Bless somebody as you head out.